Before we dive into this episode of the Food About Town podcast with Chris Clemens talking about NA beverages, just wanted to throw out a plug for one of the other shows on the Lunchador podcast network. Hope you listen to them and all the shows that we have on the network. Really excited about what's going on. So without further ado, let's go into the intro and this discussion with Chris Clemens.
Hey, it's Pauly Guglielmo, host of the Pauly Guglielmo Show here on the Lunchador Podcast Network, where we talk entrepreneurship and all of the trials and tribulations, pitfalls and rewards, and there are many, of owning a small business. We do interviews with some of your local favorite business owners, learning how they built their brands, the struggles they faced along the way, and what they have in store for the future. And sometimes it's just me detailing my own daily wins and losses. It's called the Pauly Guglielmo Show, and I'd be honored if you'd check it out. New episodes come out every Sunday morning.
I'm Chris Lindstrom, and this is the Food About Town podcast.
Rochester? Well, why Rochester?
Chris Lindstrom was a hoot. He was just so much fun. He never stopped talking. I mean, it was great.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
And we are back with another episode of the Food About Town podcast. This is going to be a little bit of a mini-series talking about NA beverages with, I'd say, likely the most frequent guest on the Food About Town podcast that has ever been, my good friend, Mr. Chris Clemens. Welcome to 2024. Welcome to more talk about any beverages on the Food About Town podcast.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back. It has been a while.
It has. I know we've run into each other here and there around Rochester, but it's hard to grab the actual time. I think we both get ourselves into lots of situations.
Yeah, we both end up finding things that we commit to that take up all of our free time.
It's like whatever new thing, it's like, oh, that's a full-time hobby. How about we get another one of those? I had one. Ah, you know what? I really want another full-time hobby.
And I'll put your spare 5 minutes a week.
So I think we're going to do a little series going through a few NA beverages. We're trying to make it more of a thing with, there's a lot of people going into, doing Dry January right now. So this will probably come out in the next week or so. And I think it's interesting to talk about this stuff in more detail. And I know you've been spending a lot of time doing research and trying everything you can find on the market.
I have. And actually, I've been doing that. You know this. I've been doing that for a very long time. But the last couple years, maybe, I have noticed there's been such an incredible uptick in products that are coming to the scene that it's become kind of exciting. Before, it was kind of, difficult or begrudgingly, but it was difficult to find things. And now, no matter how much research you do, like, it's endless.
There's
a non-alcoholic beer canned right here in Rochester, New York, that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Until last week.
Yeah, you mentioned it to me yesterday, and I proceed right away. You're like, where can you get this? One, I did find where it's likely distributed.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's a distributor with a very similar name, so it gets really confused.
Okay.
But I started messaging somebody I know who works at Genesee and seeing if we can figure out where to get it.
Nice. I'd love to try it.
I did see that it's like one of the cheapest things on the market.
Yeah, it's not a high-end beer. We haven't even said the name yet. Yeah. Penn's Best.
Yeah, $3 for a six-pack is the price that I saw.
It's like the Boone's Farm wine of non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah.
But why I mention that is because I'm constantly looking to see what's out there. And, 5-10 years ago, it wasn't difficult to come up with a final list. And in the last few years, suddenly, there's just all this new stuff on the market. And Penn's Best is not one of those. They've been around forever.
Yeah.
But there's just constantly new things on the market. It's becoming more popular. You mentioned Dry January. Just a couple days ago, I noticed that the American Cancer Society is promoting Dry February. There's a dry July. There's sober October.
I mean, so, you've signed up for every one of those months.
I am. I am sober 100% of the time. But I think it's really cool to see how many people are embracing this idea of trying to dry out here or there and give their bodies and their brains a reset. I've got a good friend of mine who I never, ever would have thought would have taken a month off from alcohol, and he did. And after a couple of weeks, he goes, I got to tell you, like, I can't believe how good I feel.
Yeah.
And again, like, he's the last person I ever would have thought would have tried it. I don't think he's someone who has a problem. But he goes, I was just like, I was having a drink or two, like, every single day. And I went with a few weeks without it, and he was sleeping better. And his, like, his thoughts were more, focused and coherent. And so it's interesting to see, that it's cool to be sober now.
Yeah. It's wildly, especially in the younger generations, you know, now we're talking two generations younger than us. Which is
great.
Oh boy. But it's also true that it's like, it's definitely more acceptable. It's more, and weirdly acceptable is the first thing that came to mind, but it's embraced.
Yeah. It's almost cool.
I think the options out there are much more exciting. And that's what we're going to touch on in these, you know, this little mini series talking about, some of these products, because I like having these during the week. I've definitely gone down where I'm at once or twice a week now. Usually it's like one, like an ounce of something, because I just love the process of tasting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have like three or four total like equivalent drinks a week now, and it's very low. And one of the reasons is because a lot of the NA options are delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think to that point, there are some people who are doing, you know, dry January or taking these 30 days of a month and not having any alcohol. But there are also people who are saying, I like to have three or four drinks in a night. And if the first two have alcohol, they can still hang out and have a couple that don't have alcohol and their night isn't over early.
For sure.
So there's a whole bunch of reasons why I think people might be embracing more non-alcoholic options. But the fact that there's more that exist, and like to your point, they're getting better and better.
Yeah. Well, speaking of better and better, in this episode, we're going to go through one brand's. So this isn't everything they have in the market, but I grabbed three from this brand, which I think should be a decent picture of what they do. So let's dive in and let's see what we think. So this brand is Untitled Art. I think you're doing a search before, and it turns out they're from Wisconsin.
Right. Waukee? I don't know how to pronounce this.
Waukegan?
Waukenee?
Waukenee. Wisconsin's a lot like Western New York, especially Buffalo, with a lot of native-based names.
You don't pronounce it phonetically.
Yeah, improperly at best for us. But we're here to try a couple, try three of their things. We have the Juicy IPA. We've got a Mango Dragon Fruit Sour and a Chocolate Dark Brew. So this is a wide different styles of things. I know we both tried many IPAs. I know I'm probably more of an IPA person than you are generally.
Yep.
But let's dive in. Let's try the Juicy IPA first.
Start with this.
So yeah, we're going to do our pours. So this is, I'd say one of the nice things about this one is, you know, the designs aren't just like, oh, this is blank, but NA. Like, this has its whole design, and this is, for all intents and purposes, really driven as an NA product, and the design is beautiful on the cans.
Yeah, it's an attractive aesthetic. It's artistic, artisanal. Yeah,
it makes you want to at least take a sip. So on the nose, this is like very lean mango, like underripe mango.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of citrus.
Yeah, orange for sure. Mm-hmm. Lots of orange. It's very pleasant on the nose. I like it quite a bit. You know, it's definitely hazy. This is going towards that modern hazy style IPA. And this one's very lean. I mean, there's a lot of IPAs that still taste relatively sweet, even from an NA perspective. With larger amounts of alcohol, you almost keep that sweetness, and a lot of people like that. This is very dry. Pretty, I'd say, medium bitter on it. It's not like super soft when it comes to bitterness, medium bitterness, and a lot of underripe tropical fruits. The nose is juicier than the taste. This is a pretty dry affair, and if you like a dry IPA, this might be for you. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but it's like if somebody served it to me, I would not be unpleased with it. I'm not sure I'd be a regular consumer of it, though.
Yeah, the more non-alcoholic beers that I try and explore, I think the more I find that I lean away from IPAs.
That's completely fair.
But this is one that I think, like, if I was at a party and it was the only option, or at a restaurant or something, I would enjoy it once, but this isn't going to be in my regular rotation.
Yeah, I'd say that's completely fair. I know I've had a number of the IPA options out there. This probably isn't one I would buy often, but again, if it showed up in a mix pack, if it showed up at a party, if it was the option at a bar, yeah, I would grab one for sure.
Yeah.
Let's try out the sour. I know you're a bigger fan of sours too.
I love sour. So we did a similar episode like this. I think it was August 2021.
Oh God, it was that long ago?
It was.
Oh geez.
Years.
Wow. I don't like hearing that.
With Brian Van Etten.
Yep.
Who was here in Spiritless.
Shout out BVE.
And he brought, I believe it was a Goza from Athletic Brewing.
It's still probably the best thing I've had from Athletic, and I like a lot of their stuff. I was talking with a local rep at one of our nominate events. They were doing a pouring of that at Fatty Beer Company, so they were doing the free Goza samples. No, of their whole line that's now. And I tried everything again. I really like the vast majority of that line.
Yeah.
Very successful, but I haven't seen the Goza since like then. I haven't looked for it. Because I really enjoyed that one. Let's see.
I really like the color of this.
Yeah, this looks great.
And I don't know if like serious beer nerds would be okay with this almost tangerine looking.
For sure. I mean, this is actually what a lot of people like now in fruited beers. They almost just pour fruit puree into it at the end.
And that doesn't make it too sweet?
Oh, no, it definitely makes it sweet, but that's the style. So one of the local breweries here in our area is Mortalis, and they're one of the drivers of that style, where it's heavily, heavily fruit pureed and sometimes with like marshmallow and lactose and things like that to get this. It's almost like they'll call it like a smoothie sour.
Okay.
Where it's got this big vanilla, you know, huge fruit bomb of sweetness and everything else. It's not my style of things. I don't love it. It's a little too much. I like clean, harder sours.
Okay.
But that's my preference.
Is the beer scene at large embracing that as being cool?
I'd say it is very trendy. It's something many breweries are doing. They're very popular right now. One of the benefits is that it's a gateway. It's a gateway for non-beer drinkers to get into beer.
Oh, okay.
Because it is, for all intents and purposes, the heavy fruits. Do not taste like beer whatsoever.
Sure, yeah.
They taste like fruit and vanilla and marshmallow or whatever else is in there. Pie crust. Like, oh yeah, I'm serious. Like, they'll do a pie crust, they'll do the other stuff. And, you know, pastry stouts where they're putting in all these huge adjuncts. A lot of it's really... They can be delicious, but the most I'd ever want is like an ounce.
Yeah.
Like I don't want 16 ounces of that or a full 750 bottle. That's way too much. I want 1 ounce of that maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm old now when it comes to this scene, and it's like, I want beer flavored beer still. But I do love sours. I'm interested to try this.
Yeah. I haven't taken a sip yet. The smell, is kind of grapefruity.
Yeah, so this one that says it's mango dragon fruit, I think I get mango. Dragon fruit's one of those flavors that is, if you ever have a dragon fruit, it's very subtle. It's like light floral, and that's about it. It doesn't have a lot of character in of itself, but excited to try it. The smell is very fruity and pleasant. This is another one that's very subtle.
Yeah, the nose is more profound than the taste.
For sure.
I think it stands out much more in the smell.
Absolutely. So personally, I would want this to be twice as sour.
Yep.
I want a harder sour, but it actually does have enough to make me know it's a sour. It's not like fruit pureed to the end of time.
And for me, it drinks very easy.
Yeah.
It's almost like a soda.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? I could 100% see this, like, you know, sitting outside by the pool on a hot day.
Yeah, this is a summer one.
Like, again, I maybe would want to split this with somebody because this is fruitier versus crisper sour. Mm-hmm. But this is on the acceptable, for me, the range that I like on how much fruit is in there.
I might actually play with this as a mixed drink as well.
100%.
Throw some other stuff in there.
Yeah, because the carbonation's very subtle on this, but it would work spreading out with one of the NA spirits or NA bitter spirit. Mm-hmm. What was that, the Liar's Bitter that we'd had before?
Did we try that here?
Yeah,
in that episode?
I think so. I've tried it in the past. I thought it was very good. I could see this working with that.
I'm trying to remember what we had.
It was a lot of things.
It was a lot of things. And 3 years feels kind of like a long time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Very little has happened in time.
I got to say, so I've had a few sips of this now since we've cracked it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it's probably my favorite of all of the Untitled Art line that I've had.
Yeah. This is my first time tasting through any of these. And I know you've tried through
line, you mean?
Yeah, you've tried some of them, if not all of them before.
Yeah, not all of them, but.
But some. Yeah. This one was new to you, right?
It was, yeah. And I of their entire line, this moved to the top for me.
Yeah.
And so far, we still got one more to go here.
And I agree with you, by the way, that this really does play like grapefruit, even though there's no grapefruit in it.
Yeah, there's something about the sourness that changes the flavor of the mango into something different.
Yeah, for sure. Because I definitely know it's mango, but at the same time, it plays like soft ruby red grapefruit almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see buying a six pack of this and having it in the fridge for Carrie because she likes sours. She likes fruited sours. Mm-hmm. I could see her really enjoying this.
Yeah.
So I think that's one I'll likely buy a six pack up and have sitting in the house.
Nice. All right. Well, cheers, Untitled Art.
Yeah, nice stuff. And we've got one more to try that I brought. Why don't you take a look at that and see what it says on the can.
Chocolate dark brew. Malt beverage with natural flavors.
Hmm. I will be very interested to try this one. This one is... Because I've had success with some of the darker stuff.
Yeah.
You mean specifically
referring to non-alcoholic darker stuff?
Because I think that darker malt, you know, it covers that richness side of things where you don't need the alcohol as much to get through it. While IPAs are balanced by that body of alcohol, I think the darker stuff almost stands on its own a little bit more. Like, you know, like the Guinness, and I've had the Athletic extra dark.
The Guinness is kind of on another level.
I love it.
It's hard not to.
It is my default. Like if I want something during the week and I don't want alcohol at all, and I just want like, oh, I want to sit with something for a few minutes. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Like most of the time I'm thinking about everything I'm tasting.
Sure. But the Guinness is reliable.
And I don't need to think about it.
Right.
Which is pretty nice when you're like, I'm just pouring something to sit in my glass while I'm watching a show or something. The color on this is nice. Actually,
it is. It's very rich. The smell, the aroma of chocolate immediately stands out.
Oh, yeah, but it's not like Hershey's syrup chocolate. It's a little bit more chocolatey than that.
Yeah.
It's not like single origin chocolate smell or anything like that, but it's very pleasant.
In fairness, will you ever get a single origin cacao smell out of any beer?
No.
Yeah.
No, I would not expect it either. It's a very pleasant chocolate, but I wouldn't say it's fruity or it's just chocolate is the smell. Yeah, almost in the glass, it almost has a cola-like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. That was the first thing I thought.
It has a cola-like look. It almost has a redness. It's not opaque. Obviously, because of the malt, it's pretty dark. Nose is nice. Take a taste.
So it's pretty mild.
Yeah, for sure.
In the beginning. But it ends up with a little bit of chocolate in the end.
Yeah.
Like I definitely didn't recognize it in the beginning.
For sure. I almost wish it was more bitter.
Oh, yeah?
I want a little bit more of that, like, dark malt bitterness to it. It plays a little more chocolatey than it does dark.
Yeah, it definitely is
more chocolatey. On the malt. I almost want it to be a little bit more like a porter, where it has that, like, darker, just a little bit more of that dark malt to balance out the chocolate flavors. I think the chocolate flavors are pleasant and pretty there throughout. Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, that it finishes more chocolatey for sure, though.
Yeah. The very first part of the sip, it doesn't seem to stand out as strongly, but the aftertaste and the lingering, I don't know the tasting lingo.
No. Yeah, I think it's the language is useful when you're doing, like, if I'm sitting on a table of like four tasters, it's really nice to, we're using specific terminology to talk about where the flavors are hitting.
Yeah, that can be very overwhelming for the average person.
I would imagine if I'm talking about finish and post finish.
Right. It feels like going to an art show.
Yeah.
And you look at the piece of art and you're like, I don't get it. But everybody else is like, this really reaches me and it really stands out, resonates with me.
Yeah.
On this level. I went to a coffee tasting class at Joe Bean.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
A decade ago. It was forever ago.
Yep.
And it was led by Ben.
Yep.
And there was a whole bunch of people in there who were all like really engaged. And one of the other people, the other customers, was like, I get a toasted birch off this one. And I was like, I don't get this at all. Like, it should taste like really good coffee to me. But when people start talking about like, I get a sour raspberry, like I can't always engage with those things. And sometimes it makes me feel like I don't belong in the conversation.
It is challenging, and it's one of those hard things because I love the process of tasting like that.
You do. You're nerdy as hell.
Oh, so much. I really like it, but I admit, like, I've had struggles sitting with coffee people, especially when I was first learning.
Yeah.
Trying to isolate flavors is challenging. And yeah. I am so wildly impressed by some of the people I know that do coffee tasting. I know we had on the Level Up Coffee podcast, Janine, I apologize, I do forget her last name, but she was she's actually a Q grader, and she's gone through the process of getting certified as a coffee evaluator. And man, the stuff that she went through to go through that process was, I can't.
Yeah, it's grueling.
It's amazing. And I'm just blown away by the effort and, like, tasting talent that goes into that.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm decent at stuff like that. And then I get in a room with people, I'm like, man, I'm just an amateur in comparison.
What?
And it makes, so, you, like, makes me so happy.
But then the average person is like, I'm not even close to being average at it.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times I'm able to just say, like, this is good. And you sometimes I don't always know why it's good. It's just because I like it.
You know what? Good is good, man. Good is good. And I think what I'm going to say is, overall, I like where this stuff is going that I tasted today.
You're specifically talking about the Untitled Art line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think we're going to wrap up this one, and then we're going to go on to part two, part three to come out later. We're recording them all in one session. This is not radio magic here. But I guess I overall like where things are going. I don't think they're targeting all of the flavors to exactly what I would want. Like, I want more bitterness in the dark. I want more sour in the sour. I want a little bit more balance in the IPA, but I like a lot of the base things that are going on.
But here's one quick comment on that.
Please.
You, and I know this about you because I've known you for so long and spent so much time with you, you like very bold, dare I use the word outrageous, flavors in a lot of things. And the average person might not. So the non-alcoholic scene and the people who are producing these things, I would imagine, are trying to appeal to the widest audience as possible.
For sure.
So maybe they're dialing it back on purpose to be more approachable for the average person.
And that completely makes sense. Because like I said, I think the bases are good. I'm going to definitely buy the mango dragon fruit sour to have in the fridge at home for when my wife is back in Rochester. And I think that'll be nice. It's a nice option, and I will certainly try the rest of the stuff they have on the market.
We haven't talked about this prior to the show.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about where people can buy this stuff locally?
Oh, I think that would be fine. Absolutely.
You got all these at AJ's Beer Warehouse, right?
I did. Yep, that's an easy one right in Henrietta. It's a good source. They have a whole section of any stuff right in the same area, which is really nice.
Tell you what, man. They've got like 5 coolers, which is real impressive, because just like a year and a half ago, they didn't. It's expanded a ton.
Absolutely. And they're one of the good sources for that.
Yeah. Beers of the World now has 2 full aisles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. And again, 3-4 years ago, they had like just a couple options. And I'm talking mostly beer.
Yeah. So, and I'm also sure, and I haven't been in, so I'm not going to speak 100%. I'd be surprised if One Stop Beer Shop doesn't have a good selection as well if you're in the north of Rochester. They're a craft beer shop top to bottom. I'm sure they have a decent selection there. And obviously, you know, big box stores in our area have them as well.
Wegmans, to their credit, has vastly expanded, and it includes the Untitled Art line.
Absolutely. So we're going to wrap up this one. Chris, where can people find your work on non-alcoholic beverages?
Non-rockaholic.com. And it's non-rockaholic on Instagram.
Which has been a great bit of fun, and I've learned so much watching all the stuff you found, and the amount of research you put into your stuff always impresses me.
Appreciate that, man.
Now and forever. Appreciate so that. We're going to close out this episode. We'll be back next time with another episode of the Food About Town Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Food About Town Podcast. If you aren't already subscribed, what are you waiting for? Go to your podcast app of choice and make us your favorite podcast by subscribing and leaving a review if you can. Music for the podcast was created by the fabulous Taurus Savant. You can hear more of his work at taurussavant.bandcamp.com and make your presence known by seeing him perform live. Food About Town is a proud member of the Lunchador Podcast Network. Oh no, here comes McKenneth!
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Get that dragon fruit.